We've been talking about who we are in Christ, and we've talked about how, and we're going to run through the PowerPoint here real quick and do some review. First of all, many of you have not been here for a long time, our friends and family of people, and we just want to say hi to you. The Phillips are back, so it's great to have you. If you guys can wave your hands, great to have you back with us. I know Ruth has quite a few friends here, and they also probably know Job. They've taken up the entire row there. Great to have you guys with us. So it's good to see Ariel and Ron back from Israel. They're working at White Oak. Great to have you guys back. And who's sitting next to you there, Ariel? Your sister King. Great to have the sister here. All right. So, we want to make this like a family. You guys know one another and have you. We're going to run through this quick review. Lisa, she does a great job. We can go to the next one. We've been talking about in Christ that we are God's workmanship. Basically, it's saying you are a piece of work, okay? And that's a piece of God's work. And in that, you do wonderful works. But we ask, well, what are those works? Some of those works are that you are salt and a light. And we talk about being a witness, sharing God's love and truth with the people around us, sharing God's light. And when we talk about being that light, we talked about being a fire for God. And we don't want to be this little candle, okay, that you put a cup over and quickly extinguishes and goes out. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that Holy Spirit that we are blazing, and we cannot be quenched, okay? There is no way. With that, and we're also a light, and good quote, we're also disciple makers. That part of our good works God wants us to do is go and make disciples of others. So one way to do this is to walk with a brother through life. A lot of times we feel like we're not qualified for many different reasons. But if you know Christ and you've been reading some of His Word, get together with a brother and encourage one another on to continue to follow Him, and we become disciple makers. Also, in Christ, you are a soldier. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're a soldier. Okay, why don't we give them a salute? All right, salute to them that they are a soldier. Now, quick review on this. A lot of times, up one, Lisa. We say, soldier, wait a minute, I'm not a soldier. But this is what Christ tells us. And a lot of times we say we're not a soldier because we don't know there's a battle going on. We don't really understand the spiritual realm. Another reason that we say we're not a soldier is because we're so involved in civilian affairs. And we have two pictures up here that, well, back up, Lisa, that give us a little bit of clue. You know, we're more interested in getting to the mall or online shopping or what have you than things. We're more interested in Facebook as just a nice social tool instead of a tool to share with our friends about who we are in Christ. Soldiers, what do? Soldiers, they are understanding the source of the battle. Does anyone remember the three areas that we battle against? Okay, one, Satan. He is real. Okay? And he is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Two, the world. And basically we're saying the desires of the world above and beyond God. And third, our own fleshly desires that we have not put under the lordship or the control of God. Another thing that a soldier needs to know is the spiritual weapons. And in this is that we do not fight with weapons of the world. War of the flesh is the word used here. But we have weapons that are of the spiritual nature. And we talked about that through Ephesians 6 in the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit. We've also in review, and this is all previous stuff we've talked about, is that a soldier obeys commands. There's a wonderful gem in 1 Corinthians that Peter shares, and he says, be on your guard. And let's read this together, brothers and sisters. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. The first one, be on your guard, is actually just a single word there in the Greek that says watch, be alert, be on your guard. Okay? And that's just to stand firm. We brought Lydia up here as a basketball player, and we asked her to be on guard. And she was standing like this. I easily pushed her over. So get on guard, you got to get down. You got to get your foundation strong. If you're going to build a building, the most important part of the building is the foundation. Okay? Taipei 101, we talked about 262 feet are underground, almost a whole football field, to keep that firm in the midst of the numerous earthquakes that they have there. Are you standing firm? What do we need to watch against or stand firm against? It's the temptation. It's that which comes and tries to pull us away from our relationship with God. Which brings up the question is why? Why do we have to be on guard? Why do we have to be standing firm? Because our relationship with Christ is the most important thing that we have. Apart from Christ, we wonder and do things that are totally of the world. We just went down and spent some time with Malon's family. They do not know Christ. There's numerous things that continue to cycle around that cause struggles and strifes for them. It's not that we want that to happen to them, but that's just what will naturally occur as they seek after wealth and money, as they have an incorrect understanding of what relationship in marriage is. These bring struggles and problems. Not only we need to stand firm and be on guard, we need to be men of courage. I was a great Greek study in this. This is the first time I understood that there's a word that says man up. It says be a man in the Greek. And I tell my men in men's accountabilities group that all the time. Be a man up, I tell my son. Come on, be tough, be a man. And what he's saying there, and the connection with that is to have courage. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago or before, that we want to be a church that encourages, puts courage into people. And when we come together, here or outside, we should be continuously pumping people full of courage, not discouraging or taking it away from them. Also, be strong or strength. Single word there. Have strength. And last of all, do everything in love. Okay? We are obeying Christ's commands. These are part of it as soldiers. Not only that, but there's some other things that soldiers do. Is one is soldiers fight. We need to be fighting. Fighting for our families. Fighting for our friends. Fighting for our identity, our integrity. We need to be fighting. Not only do we need to be fighting, we need to sometimes, soldiers, and we don't like this one, retreat. We need to be honest. For some of us, in our walk, and in life, we're getting beat up. And it's time to take some time and step back and say, Lord, I've made some bad decisions. I'm getting really beat up. I'd like to repent of those. also with that is sometimes it's not about a sin issue. It's just that you've been wounded so deeply that you need to heal, to take time, to step back. You know, busyness is a great way to mask over the wounds that are still seeping out, all of this yucky stuff onto others. We need to step back and allow ourselves to be healed. And with that, a word to the church. It needs to be a place that is safe to repent, to be real, and repent, and also to be healed. Last of all, what do soldiers do? And this is a difficult area to talk about. Surrender. Soldiers surrender. Now there's two types of surrender in the Christian walk. One is good, one is bad. One is we surrender to Christ. That all of our life, all that we are, physically, relational, sexually, spiritually, economically, we give it to the Lord. We say, it is yours. But there's a bad surrender too. It's a surrender to Satan. When we say, you know, I'm just tired of living for the Lord. I want some convenience instead of conviction. I'd rather have some comfort rather than character. For whatever reason, then we surrender to Satan. A lot of times, those connected with us goes with it. The church, our family, our marriages, our children. This is the surrender we do not want to do. We do not want to lift up the white flag to Satan. I like a quote that comes from Churchill right at the beginning of the war when they entered it. It says, "We shall not flag. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall never surrender." Do not surrender to Satan. Surrender to God, and in that way you will not surrender to Satan. That was all review. We're going on now, and we're moving in. Not only are we in Christ, created to do good works. Another good works we are created to do is to pray. And I'd like to talk real quick about Epaphras. Epaphras. Anybody here named Epaphras? Okay, no one named Epaphras. But Epaphras was a fighter. He was a warrior. And he was also a servant of God that was fully under the lordship of Christ. This is what we read about him. Say, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a Christian, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras, what is he doing? Says that he's laboring earnestly. It's interesting that in the word here, it's actually the fighting. It's the same word that we put up there for Paul as he's instructing Timothy to fight the good fight, to stand firm and fight that good fight. It's the same word that's used here. And how does Epaphras fight? He fights through prayer. Who's he fighting for? There it just says you, but as he's writing there, probably those Christians in the city of Colossae. And so, the fighting is in prayer. And it's actually, if we think about prayer then, it's an act of war. Prayer here is an act of fighting in the true sense and meaning of the war in the word. And if he's fighting for people, we have to ask ourselves the question, when we pray, are we fighting? Are we fighting for brothers and sisters? Is that the type of prayer that we are praying? Now, how many of you have ever been in a fight? Okay, if you have a brother or sister, probably, you know, unless you're just an angel, you know. I just put my brother in his place all the time. You know, he was an excellent sports guy, but I was 4 years older. So even though he could contend with me, I was still stronger, and so I just put him in his place if he was winning. Kick the ball, you know, whatever. Fight. When you fight, you just don't sit there like... You move. You are active. You are battling with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm asking then, is that the type of prayer that you are praying? Or is it the typical prayer that we get, you understand what I mean? Are you warring? Are you declaring an act of war in your prayers? It said that as soldier, we need to know our spiritual weapons. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. One of those weapons is prayer. You're not going to fight a spiritual war with earthly weapons. You're going to fight with a spiritual weapon. That is prayer. And the most powerful weapon that we have throughout the Scriptures tells us is prayer to the mighty King, the Lord, the warrior, the one that holds it all, is in control of it all. Now, here it says in 2 Corinthians that prayer is an act of war because it demolishes strongholds. Now, demolish, again, just like fighting, is not a little passive action. Demolish has the great thought of destroying. In the Greek, of pulling it down. So actually, I need a... Let's get a brother up here because I need someone to volunteer. All right, William, come on up. And I need another brother because I need to save time. Come on up and tie his feet in his hands. All right. I need his feet in his hands too. And he is getting put in a bondage or a stronghold. And wow, Damien's really going. I better supply maybe some more cords. Now, we need to get those loose as a sermon illustration later. Okay, there you go. And I did not bring a knife. So... Yeah. Okay, good. A bow tie would be great. And, of course, William, you work out. I tried to bring another sermon illustration, but to destroy, if someone's in bondage or something, they're inside the box. To destroy it is to come. You want to... Damien really seems to be into... Okay, go ahead. Okay. And the person is free. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Okay, but we're going to just leave you up here as our example for a while. And
The other example is the person that is tied up.
Yeah, and of course he can move, right? Can you breathe? Yeah, can you see? You could probably even eat. Yeah. But is he still bound? Is he still in a stronghold? And this is a great example of our Christian life many times. We have the answer in Jesus. Many areas have been set free. But there's still areas that are strongholds in our life that for some reason or another we cannot break free of. And so we move around the world as very much worldly, fleshly beings that we are in bondage with, acting and reacting to others from our strongholds or our bondages. And really, that's not how we want to be living, right? You wouldn't want to go out and fight a war like this. Nor would you like to play a basketball game or go golfing or whatever you may do. You would not want to remain in bondage. The number one stronghold in people's lives, and begin to think of some different strongholds. Think about that number one stronghold, and we'll come around. And I don't know if you have a pen or paper, but Adam, could you go back there and look for some pencils or papers? Let's go ahead and just pass these around as much as possible, because we're going to write on there some strongholds. And I want you to make it a personal stronghold. Don't put your name on it. You know, but just begin to enter into a time of thought and reflection and prayer of the different stronghold that you or maybe a friend may be in. Any thoughts on the number one stronghold that people enter into? Pride would be an excellent one. I might rank that right up there. Lies would be another one that I have listed. Say again? Worry is another one. Is excellent. These have all made my secondary list. It's something in Scripture that comes up over and over again that we wouldn't necessarily think about as a stronghold. Unforgiveness. We think of the very reason in which Christ came is to forgive our sin. The end of the Lord's Prayer goes in Matthew and talks about forgiveness. And we're not going to talk about that a lot today because I really want to focus on prayer. But one stronghold that if you are bound by, to really pray and allow God's Spirit to begin to minister to you and begin to set you free, if there's someone that you need to forgive, or if you yourself have committed a sin or sinned against another and need forgiveness. And again, let's just begin to be in an attitude of prayer, reflection, of possibly writing down on our paper something that we want to destroy, demolish. Other strongholds, as we've mentioned, pride, lies, worry, guilt, and shame is a huge one. Lack of worth follows from that. Or an incorrect identity. And it falls from that is a need for love that is not met and then for met in other places, that even God does not love me. On top of the lies, usually fear jumps in there. A lot of times discouragement combined with doubt, which becomes depression, which ultimate leading and feeling is to suicide or death, can be a stronghold. Even self-pity. There are numerous ones. But God has created us. He has called us. And in Him, we are called as a workmanship, a piece of God's good work, to do what? To pray. And not just pray in that sense of, finally time to rest. Of a warrior with a hammer of destroying, of setting captives free. Is that your type of prayer? A lot of times I would say that for myself and listening to other brothers and sisters, our prayers that we says that we have spiritual weapons that are not of the world. And not of the world there means not carnal, not of the flesh, but many times our prayers are of the flesh. They're whatever we think. And it's like kind of like, how do we get out of that prayer that is just in the flesh? And Paul comes and gives us a phrase. One time he only uses the phrase. The phrase is a little bit hard to understand. In Ephesians 6, at the end, when he says, stand firm, and you got to stand firm, and you got to put on the armor of God, and then he lists the armor of God, put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the shoes of righteousness, come the gospel of peace. This and all this, take up the shield of faith. Extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. And then it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and all kind of requests. And I don't quite understand what that all means about praying the Spirit. But I do know that it means don't pray in the carnal flesh. And so, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're really seeking after Him, we need to be asking, Lord, what does this mean to pray in the Spirit? Maybe it's related to the phrase right before it says, take up the sword of the Spirit. And so we pray in the Word, going through Psalms and praying over Psalms or Scriptures that we read. That's powerful. Maybe it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Somebody remember the one I missed. Faithfulness. That's good stuff. Pray in that. Maybe it's talking about when he's with the woman and says, one day you will worship me in spirit and in truth. Maybe it's talking about truth. And the truth will set you free. Maybe it's talking about the way Jesus came in Luke 4 and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The blind may see. The captives may go free. The oppressed release. The day of Jubilee will come, of salvation. Maybe it's talking about when Jesus is real before the Lord, and He's asking His disciples to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before He goes to the cross. And He says, Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Acts of the Apostles, or Acts of the Spirit, and amazing things begin to happen. Speaking in tongues, of prophecy, of healing, of a courage and boldness to share the good news. To pray in the Spirit. Another aspect of this is that it says, on all occasions, all kind of prayers and requests. Requests are needs. When you pray, do you pray for needs? And when it's really a need, how do you act and react? Everybody take a deep breath and hold it. Okay, and just hold it. When you have a need for something, you want it more than anything. And you will go after it and get it. When I think of swimming, I'm going to do anything I can to come up and get that breath. You can breathe whenever you need to breathe. And down in Florida, we got to use the pool a lot of times. I kept thinking, what about if I was in the ocean and my family? Could I actually put myself aside to keep my children alive? Or my wife? Or would I strongly go after the need? When you pray, when you go for a need, you'll do anything to get it. You'll scream for it. You'll fight for it. That's just the truth. In your prayers, is that how you pray? No. Do you persist? We were driving down the highway from Ohio to Kentucky. My wife was sleeping. All of a sudden, this trucker in front of me goes right off the road. Right through the trees, the tree line, on top of a railroad track. And I was like, oh my. Slam. That was great, Finally, I get to do that. And my wife was sleeping. She wakes up and I'm like, honey, truck, person. Jumped out of the car, ran. It was like thistles and trees and everything, and I had to jump over a fence and getting all scratched and ripped up, and finally got to the guy. He was passed out. He must have had a slight heart attack or something. I don't know. And he's just sleeping, breathing real heavy, and he's on the railroad track. And I'm like, is anybody calling 911? The reason I share this is just the example of when you have a need, when something is urgent, when it's an emergency, how do you act and react? And do you act and react that way in prayer? Or is the typical response? Amen. In Christ, He's created us to do good works. One of those works is prayer. I got a 12-sermon series on prayer. This is just number one. I don't know how many we're going to get to. But part of that, and because time is weighing away, is the intercession. At the end there, praying for all the saints. That's an interceding, bringing them before the King of Kings. God, I want you to meet William. God, He is bound. He's moving. He's living. He's doing a bunch of things, but He's in bondage. God, will You come and meet with William, because he is precious to Me, and I know he's even more precious to You, and will You set him free? You've been up here for a while, huh, brother? Damien, I need your help. Come and set him free. Lord. Thank you, brother, for helping me out. We do want to make this a time of prayer, so I've asked, I think it's Job, to come on up. Job, Ruth, and Matthew, okay. I didn't hear the exact name, which one was going to. And but I'd like us just to take a time to pray. And as we pray, I want us to break out of the tradition. I don't want us just to you know, if that is your passionate, your emergency, your prayer need is to sit and bow your head and pray, that is great. Go for it. But if it's to stand up, if it's to move around, if it's to keep your eyes open, I want you to do that. But today I just want us to practice one thing. And that's that when we pray, we're going to pray aloud. To voice your prayers out for a brother or sister in need, for yourself in need. And with that paper, I want you to stand up and I want you to walk forth while you're praying. And I want you to rip it up. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be destroyed by the power and authority of Jesus Christ, because this is a spiritual thing. It's not you, it's not me, it's not this place or the guitar or anything about that. It's in the name of Jesus. To come and destroy it, maybe for it's for yourself or for your brother or sister. Because God has called us to be warriors and soldiers. And with that, it says we do everything in love. And so let's just begin to pray. And come and rip it up and lay it up here. Destroy it. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, we ask that You would come right now. That You would come and destroy the strongholds that have held people in bondage. God, we want to come and we want to ask You, Jesus Christ, with all of Your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God, to be glorified, to be exalted. For You are the King of Kings and You are the Lord of Lords, God. You are the name above all names, Lord Jesus. And so we come and we bring it all before You. Come and destroy it, Lord Jesus. And God, I just want to pray for my aunt, Christine, Lord Jesus, that You would set her free from her bondage and her idols. God, that You would give her life and life to the fullest. Oh, Jesus, that You would set her free again. Oh, thank You, Jesus, God, that You are setting people free. Make us warriors, Lord Jesus, to battle for our brothers and sisters and as Olivia, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that she would come.
God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And what could stand against?
Our God is greater.
And our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. And our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
let's just declare God's power in our lives.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Yes, what could stand against? And our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any.
Let's go ahead and lift our hands to the Lord. Let's declare who He is.
Our God is greater.
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God.
Our God, one more time, our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, today, God, we want to start something new. God, that we would be people of prayer, people who warrior for our brothers and sisters, that no longer when we pray, Lord, we would sit and just close our eyes and fold our hands, Lord Jesus. God, that sometimes that we would pound our hand, that we would declare the truths of God, that we would declare who God is over, that He reigns over the situation, and that He has all power and authority to set people free. Today, God, we bring before You an example of these that have been in bondage, these strongholds, God, and we declare that we're ripped up and destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And now, Lord Jesus, come and fill the brothers and sisters, God, with more of Your Holy Spirit, God. More of You, Jesus. More of Your presence. Just to live for You, God. To be real in You. And God, to be warriors in Christ for themselves and for their brothers and sisters. Jesus, Jesus, You are greater. You are greater. You are greater. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.